Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes with another Ag Perspectives podcast. Our guest today, Roy Lee Lindsay, Executive Director of the Oklahoma Pork Council, as we talk about this huge issue of gestation stalls, gestation crates, and the assault that the Humane Society of the U.S. has led against the hog industry. They've convinced a lot of major players that gestation crates should be eliminated as quickly as they possibly can. We talk with Roy Lee about this issue, how the industry trying to respond to this in a positive way. At this point, I know that there's a lot of scratching of heads within the pork industry of how you get your arms back around this thing.
Yeah, it's one of those, you know, how do you eat an elephant? Will you do him one bite at a time, really, is kind of where you go. And this is a large challenge for our industry. There is a significant disconnect between what we do on the farm every day and what the consumer knows about what we do on the farm every day. And if all I show you is a picture, it's hard for you to get the context that goes with that picture. And opponents of our industry, the activist groups, have been very good at showing you that picture and then telling you what the context is and it not being an accurate context, if you will. Not a whole context. Let me put it in those terms. And so that's put us behind the eight ball, if you will. And truthfully, I'm not sure that we chose to engage in this process soon enough. I had a board president 10 years ago as we drove through the panhandle talking to a local reporter, turn to the reporter and say, you know, we're out here feeding the world. And that used to be a noble profession. And the challenge today is that feeding the world is not enough. That's not what the public still doesn't see that as, quote, the noble profession. We expect more. You know, safe, affordable food, abundant. Well, those are table stakes. That's what you got to have to get in the game today. That's no longer a bonus. That's where the line starts. And then what are you going to do over and above that? So we've got to decide as an industry, where do we want to go and how do we want to try to address some of these challenges? But at the same time, I think it's going to be important for retailers, food service entities who want to tell us what they think the best way for us to raise product is, for them to really stop and consider what they're asking of the industry. And when I say that, report came out this week, University of Missouri, Ron Plain, with a survey that says only 17% of sows are housed in group housing. Well, if you start totaling up how much of trim, and trim is what these food service giants make sausage out of, and that's what they're selling, how much trim they buy, it's a significant amount. And it's far more than the trim that comes from 17% of the sows. And so if the industry doesn't change, where are those folks going to source product? And I'm not telling you the industry's not going to evolve to there, but where's product going to come from? And I think at times that the perception may be at times, well, if I'll just make this announcement, the activists will go away and leave me alone, and I won't have to deal with this issue for 4 years, 5 years. I've kicked the can 10 years down the road, and I won't have to deal with it again between now and then. But what are we going to do about the challenges that come from changes in sow housing? And for example, AVMA says that both types of sow housing are credible. Both types of housing provide adequately for the animal. And the real challenge for you is that the most important part in that is the individual that provides care for that animal. You can have group housed sows that are not well taken care of because their caretaker doesn't do a good job. You can have sows in stalls that are treated immaculately and sows that are genuinely happy to see the people as they come through the barn and scratched on the head, you know, just like you would a pet or something. It's the people involved that really make the difference. But when we talk about housing, we know from situations where we've put sows in free access stalls or stalls that they can come and go that most of the sows will spend about 80% of their time in the stall. And there's reasons for that. They feel comfortable there. They feel protected. They're away from others that may be more aggressive. But if we do away with individual housing, we no longer have that ability to protect individual sows from those who may be more aggressive. And in any group of animals, I mean, and sows are no different in this regard, maybe even more so than most, you're always going to have one sow in a pen that's the dominant sow. She's always going to be the boss. And if you have one that's not as aggressive or a little more timid, the more aggressive sows will keep the one that's more timid away from the feeder. But just, and they're like teenagers in a peer group. They'll bully her around. And we don't know how to solve that challenge yet. So we're going to move out of, if we follow the wishes that we're hearing today in the news, we're going to move from a system that allows us to give each animal individual care into a system that makes individual care for each animal much more difficult. Add to that, the food service folks have said, we want you to give us trimmings that only come from animals that were raised, come from sows that were raised in group housing. That process doesn't exist today. We have no way to segregate product into those pieces today. And when only 17% of the sows are raised in that manner today, how anxious are the processors to start segregating out product from 17% of the animals to accommodate that? And if I've segregated it out, are you, as the food service entity, willing to pay me more for that? Because I've added to my process. Now, and I'm not telling you, we're not going to talk about difference in cost of raising the sows, but just there's a difference in cost of differentiating product. I've got to have more storage space in the cooler. I've got to have more SKUs in the computer. I've got to have more boxes. I've got to have more everything that goes into storing product. I got to double almost so that I can segregate product. In that respect, it's a very similar discussion we had about country of origin labeling. No real difference in the product. If I lay them out in front of you for meat quality, you're not going to notice any difference. But at the end of the day, it does increase cost for us to put that product in front of the consumer. Now, if a consumer is willing to pay for it, the industry will deliver it. And the industry has always delivered that which the consumer is willing to pay for.
The thing is, the consumer isn't necessarily being consulted on this.
Yeah, and that's the other challenge. And one of the things that I think is a big challenge for us as an industry and a challenge, I think, for the food service entities, the retailers to address is the people that are putting pressure on them to make these changes are people that don't buy their product to start with. And you know, so if you start from the notion that many of these activist groups are if you use Mercy for Animals, for example, they'll tell you point blank they think everybody should be a vegetarian. Well, why are we in the meat business and those who sell meat for a living listening to people that don't buy meat to tell us how we ought to sell product? And I think as consumers, you need to be familiar with when someone lays a message in front of you, what's their agenda? Okay, it's pretty clear to me, pretty clear to them that I work for the pork industry. And so when I'm telling you what the pork industry thinks, you know my agenda is to help us sell more pork and to help you understand what we do. But have you looked at what some of these activist organizations and the leadership in their entities are? What is their philosophy behind it? If their philosophy is, well, I'm a vegan and I don't eat meat, and I write books encouraging people to be vegetarians, why am I listening to that person tell me how we ought to produce meat? They're not going to buy it to start with. And so we need to start asking ourselves, I think, some of those questions and maybe consider those things as consumers. Kind of the whole idea of keep your values off my plate.
Now, in the case of McDonald's and some of these other companies, as they've made these pronouncements and have set timelines in some cases, have they painted themselves into a corner where they can't do some sort of a modification of, you know, having access to the individual sows and maybe, you know, where the sow can do spend 80% of her time instead of 100%? Or, you know, have they really shot themselves in a foot on this?
Well, it depends, and it depends on which ones you look at and kind of what some of the statements are. And you saw a statement from Kroger the other day that encouraged people to move to group housing for sows. It didn't set a deadline. It didn't set a timeline. It just said, we would encourage you to move faster toward that goal. And if that's what Kroger believes, I think that's a reasonable request on their part. And the industry's got to decide how quickly they're going to do that. But they didn't come out and say, by this date in X, we're only going to buy product from Y. And so I do think that the folks making these pronouncements and these declarations do need to be careful when they say, we're only going, at this date, the drop-dead date, we're only going to buy product from X. And I give you an example. We had a major pork producer in the United States several years ago that made the announcement they were going to convert all their company farms to group housing. And legitimate announcement on their part, fully what they intended to do, and they set a timeline. We're going to do it in so many years. And I don't remember how many years it was, but we're going to get there. And then the economy went south, and the industry started losing money, and the price of corn went through the roof, and there was no money in the industry to work on that conversion, and they had to set that aside. They had to set that aside because there just wasn't the dollars to put in. When you start talking about building a farm today in group housing, you're talking about an investment of $1,200 a sow on average. We're not talking about a small investment, okay? I mean, a 600-head sow farm at $1,200 a sow is still almost three-quarters of $1 million, okay? So a small farm is a sizable investment. And so when you start thinking about what people are investing and you start looking at how far down the road are we going to get, when you start saying, I got a drop dead date, and as of this date, I am only going to buy product from animals raised in this fashion, a couple of things could happen. One is, you can't tell me what the economy is going to do over the next 6 years, and are producers really going to be able to make that transition in that time frame, economically be able to make it? And I know and so I go back to my statement earlier that AVMA has said both types of sow housing more than adequately provide for the welfare of the sow. So we start with that. That is our number one concern, is care and well-being of the animals. But to make transitions that are based solely on preference, solely on emotion as opposed to what the science tells us, then the economics has to play a part in what that discussion and what that decision is. So we do have to be careful that we don't box ourselves into a corner, because I could see us getting to the point that somebody says, well, I'm only going to buy, and then there's no product there. You know, Ohio pork producers made the decision in 2010 in an agreement with HSUS that they were going to transition out of sow stalls in Ohio. And they have a few less sows in Ohio than we do in Oklahoma, but it's pretty comparable. Right. But their deadline for that transition is the late 2020s. 2028, 2029, something in that time frame. I mean, they got 18 years or something to make that transition. Well, here comes McDonald's and says, well, we want it done in 10 years. And you've got other companies that have said, we want it done in 5 years. We've got states that have adopted legislation or through ballot initiatives that Colorado's goes into effect, I think, in 2013, that sows can no longer be housed in stalls. So some of that, you've picked an artificial deadline to make a change to something that really doesn't increase welfare for the animal. It may increase our perception of that animal's welfare, but all the science tells us, it really doesn't add to the animal's welfare. It just creates additional challenges for us.